I never told no one that. My whole life I've been holding back. Every time I load my gun up so I can shoot for the stars, I hear a voice like, who do you think you are? Negative
thoughts. Another week, another episode of my favorite podcast. Yes, it's my own podcast. This week's guest, Brian Littlefield. I had the honor of speaking with the chief product officer at Jocko Fuel, the supplement company, you know, the one, the only Jocko only. Now, yeah, I'm not big time yet, so I didn't have the pleasure, but one day I will get to personally meet Jocko and interview him. Brian, an amazing guy. It's his business partner. Grew up together. An amazing story. Now, it took me a little while. Yeah, I interviewed him months ago, but under the pressure, I used to have a publicist and he wanted me to consistently and constantly interview his other clients over and over. And my bad, Brian, you are exceptional. You are a rock star. And on a personal note, for me, I've started a new adventure. I am a brand new consultant with Valuetainment. Yes, the Patrick Bet David. I realized I am the master of my life. I am the controller of my destiny. So what better way than actually working for a company that I align with? Valuetainment. Yes, the Patrick Bet David. And you know what? I have an amazing offer for you. If you're into masterminds, you're into networking, for only $597 for 1 month, $4,000 for a whole month, or a whole year, or a quarter at $1,497 to mastermind with the one and only Patrick Bet David. Once a month, you meet over Zoom, 120 minutes, 30 minutes. The first 30 minutes, you're networking with other like-minded people, high achievers, CEOs, founders, people hot in their sales. And after that, 90-minute Q&A with Patrick Bet David, 12 to 15 timely questions chosen by you and the others, a private LinkedIn group. You get to keep every mastermind and you get two coaching sessions twice a month. Talk about bringing value. All right. Well, enough of the plugging, enough of the pitching. Things haven't changed in my life. I'm still coaching. I'm still doing the podcast, but I'm also working and also aligned with Patrick Bet David, Valuetainment. Without further ado, let's listen in on that's such an amazing conversation with Brian Littlefield. Remember, ask yourself better questions. Ask yourself, what if it did work? Who do you think you are? Negative thoughts come to mind when I start thinking bold. Like, why you chasing dreams? Aren't you getting kind of old? Whew. I knew I needed help. I had no self. All right, I got to say, a little biased, but it's my favorite podcast. Another brand new episode of What If It Did Work? And super stoked, super honored to have an amazing guy, an entrepreneur, the man, the myth, one of the founders of Jocko Fuel, chief product officer, as well as founder, Brian Littlefield. How's it going, brother?
Going great, brother. How are you doing?
Dude, when I saw that your guy wanted you to be on my show, I was like in heaven, man, because there's so many questions. Just be behind your product line, behind your partner in crime. I mean, for starters, I read through your bio. Where did you meet Jocko?
Yeah, so I met Jocko in 2017, early 17 or late in 16. I think it was 2017. And my partner Pete and I had already established the nutritional division of Origin Supplements. Are nutraceutical world is my background. So when I partnered with Pete Roberts in 2016, we launched a nutritional line of products within Origin. And like a year later, we got introduced to Jocko. He was actually trying to get a hold of us. He was reaching out to us because he was interested in the other side of the business, which is manufacturing, American manufacturing of clothing. Brazilian jiu-jitsu gis was the first products, but it ended up evolving into like apparel and blue jeans and workwear, and now a new hunt line of all American made products. So being the patriot that Jocko is, he had reached out and he's like wanted to get involved on that side of things. And then when he realized we were doing nutrition, he's like, man, I've always wanted to do that. So we hit it off.
And you guys just opened up a new factory in North Carolina, man. Congratulations. Yes, dude.
I love about you is you guys walk the walk, talk the talk. American made, plain and simple. Yeah, you and I, every entrepreneur knows you could have outsourced, but it's not about you. You put people and you put America first over profits.
That's exactly it, man. I say it all the time, put people before profits. So when I partnered with Pete Roberts, the founder of Origin, he founded Origin in 2011, and he was actually, oddly enough, he was importing gis from Pakistan. That's where all martial arts equipment is made, essentially. Like almost all clothing and, you know, tech and things like that are made in China. Pakistan has like this dominant ownership of market share as far as manufacturing goes in martial arts equipment. It's like a niche they've found. So Pete was importing from there. He was also like a high level competitor. So he had won an American trials to go to Abu Dhabi and compete. And when he saw his product getting knocked off over there, he came back and literally on the plane ride back, he was like developing the plan to like cut down woods in his backyard and build a timber frame factory. And that's what he did. And, you know, he grinded with like a couple people and went and found used machinery, an old loom, a bunch of sewing machines that were left dead from, you know, the bass shoe days and the all the manufacturing that was here in New England, that heritage, it was all here. It had just died. And when I got involved in the company, like end of 2014, I think I got introduced to Pete, and it was through jiu-jitsu, of course, having both been in the world for a while now. I was like immediately obsessed with his mission. So I was trying to help him any way I could. And I just got involved early on. And then we partnered up in 2016.
Okay. So literally all about timing, brother. You guys started right before the podcast, right before like the book, right before being a household name. So it wasn't like he was like, hey, you guys want to piggyback. You guys all started pretty much at the ground zero, worked your way up.
Yeah. It's funny, like the timing has been, we kind of call it the Origin way, but the timing has been very fortunate for us. You know, the timing for Pete, you know, he had a marketing agency that died in 2008, 2009 recession. And so he had to take some time to spend with his family. He had a young family at the time. And when he restarted Origin, like the timing was good. It was the timing of the incline, right? Things were starting to turn around in 2011 and then, you know, and ride the wave, no pun intended, you know, to success, and time that with, you know, bringing on good people and alignment with Jocko. Also, political timing was good. There was a very pro-America, you know, we're very agnostic brand-wise as far as politics go, but, you know, the say what you want about him, the one thing that Trump did was like put America first. So with that like timing of 2016 to 2020, man, that pro-America manufacturing message was really good for the brand.
Have you ever wondered where did we get lost in that? I mean, growing up, I think it was everybody, I mean, I'm 49, but yeah. It was always proud to be an American. There was no, well, I don't know about this anthem. I don't know about this statue. I mean, it's wild times, right? I'm sure growing up, you weren't thinking you'd ever have to tell me, well, we're pro-America. That's like going to England or, you know, going to France and saying, well, you know, this company's pro. Well, you would think, right? The origins, if that's where you're from, you know, every country should, every citizen should be proud of where they're from. I would think, common sense.
Yeah, it's interesting. You asked where we went wrong. I think it's a two-part question. There's where we went wrong from a making things here at home perspective, and then where we went wrong. Because I think they're two different things. And then where we went wrong from like a really an exile of patriotism and how patriotism got lumped into like, it's kind of like masculinity, right? Has become like a bad term. And like, it's a bad thing. And in actuality, it's not. There's a, like, when you look at the real definition of masculinity, it's not a bad thing. And I would say patriotism is also not a bad thing. How it got pivoted that way, I think is part of, you know, and I'm not going to go down rabbit hole of conspiracy theories, but I will say, like, you know, over the last few decades, there's been a massive push of a globalization agenda, and that one world all working together equally is the best case scenario. And I think that from a heart's perspective, like it feels good to think that way. But when you look at us, you know, 100 years ago, we didn't have the technology we have today. We didn't have, we were barely into vehicles. Like, we were barely into cars. Flight was just taking off. You know, it's go 150 years back and you look at the technology then and you basically put us in the Stone Age comparatively when you look at that gap. So it wasn't that long ago where we, as a people, our tech has surpassed our evolution as humans. Our technology and our interconnectivity with each other has surpassed our ability to understand how to deal with it. Think about that rapid growth in technology in such a short period of time. So we have this connectivity to people instantaneously around the world, yet we haven't really had time to mature with it. And so we try and sympathize with things like wars here and poverty here and things like that. And it, in my opinion, helps us lose focus on what's important at home. And I think that has been the reasoning. We've lost touch with community, with, you know, everything from like our local community to the state, people being proud of their people. Who's proud of the state they live in anymore? You know, so I think that humans, as through our evolution, until we have somehow miraculously evolved to a point where we don't have any of that tribalism and that need for community within us, I think that we're missing a part of that. And that's why we're having that polarization within our country, you know, because people, there's people that are pushing the global agenda. And then you're feeling that, in my opinion, it's like a rubber band snap back to like, no, we need to focus on the shit that's important here at home and taking care of ourselves. Cause it's no different than, it's really no different than I'm going to use myself as an example. I'm a new father for the first time. You know, my wife and I tried for years. And if America likes to be the global watch and support system, like we're like welfare relief for around the world. I like to help my extended family. I like to help friends. I like to give back to, I give as much as I can to the companies and the investments that I'm involved in. But if I can't take care of myself to take care of my family first, like my family is first, my at home is first. That's the most important thing, is my family at home first, my wife and my daughter, and what I have to take care of at home, whether that's protection or providing for them, whatever that is, I have to take care of that first. That's the first priority. When there's excess, I can then let that sprout out to the community and then further and further and further. We're not taking care of ourselves at home first. We're losing ourselves as a superpower, not in the military sense, but in a productivity sense. Like, if you don't, as a country, make things, you're not going to have things. And then all of a sudden, like, it doesn't matter how much of a superpower you are from a military perspective. If all of a sudden another nation can cut you off at the throat and you're done, like lose all of our medication, lose all of our technology, lose all of our chips, as we saw during the pandemic, you know, our computer chips, so reliant on others, yet we're quick to shell out all this money. So again, I went down a tangent and a rabbit hole, but the fact is, what I'm trying to say is you have to take care of at home first. So when we lost focus on us and we stop being patriotic, we stop prioritizing American manufacturing, American jobs, American communities, American values, that's where I feel like we went wrong.
Brother, you're speaking in the choir. I think when it comes to discussing manufacturing and stuff, people don't understand cheaper isn't always better. I remember the last TVs that were actually made here, Zenith. Yep. And that's like, that wasn't that long ago, bro. That was like in the 80s. Like, the grand scheme of things, and it just went. And people don't, okay, state of Florida here, we're service oriented. So I get it, brother. I mean, without tourism, we'd be dead because that's what we rely on. And if the whole country becomes service oriented, but we're shelling out money here, left and right, anybody can hold you hostage. Hey, if you need help, you need oil, you need more products like China. Yeah. If it wasn't for China, Walmart would be probably empty. I mean, you know, maybe we should pay a little extra. In fact, Uncle Sam's printing out money left and right. Maybe we should just use that money to buy the stuff that costs more anyways, you know? But dude, what I love about you guys is fundamentally something that, hey, I just watched a documentary, dude, on Netflix, because I usually would only watch these days on Woodstock. And the whole thing was toxic masculinity is the, and you know, to me, maybe I'm old school. I looked at it and I'm like, well, you, the dude wanted to have like 1969 vibes. You don't put Korn, you don't put, you know, Limp Bizkit, you don't put thrash bands like 90% of, and you know, you don't charge kids $14 of water. Maybe, you know, maybe that's what pissed people off. But to just, you know, like you said, masculinity now is like, oh my gosh. That when I heard that, because I was watching it, I'm like, so what's the end game here? You know, ultimately it should have been the guy's a fucking idiot. They didn't know how to, they just wanted to go, you know, money grab. They were incompetent. End the story. But then, you know, it veers sick masculinity. And that's what I love about your company is, hey, I want to feel, that's why I do CrossFit. Yes, you know, there's all these other different avenues, you know, all these little, because it's not about, you don't want to be a man. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to grunt. I mean, we have gyms now that there's a lunk alert, you know, yeah. You can't drop weights. You can't lift heavy. You can't do anything because toxic masculinity, man. And when you say global, worldwide, it all pens down to this. We're all winners here. Just like the eighth grade, you know, eighth place trophy is the same as the first place. And that's not how things work. That's not how companies work. Business world, man, you have a lot of competition. Down the street from here, you have VPX. You know, you have Bang. Yeah, they might have the little fruity-looking cup, you know, aluminum cans to try to market towards everybody. But, you know, could you imagine in the business world, we're like, hey, you know, Jocko Fuel here looks like they need some help. Let's get VPX. Like, let's see if we can get Andy Frisola to like somehow kick in and help out. No, man, that's how, like, to me, that's how like the socialism aspect is, because, you know, nobody wants to lose. Nobody wants to look bad. And it's like, where in this does it work out? Because in the business world, I know you guys, just like what Metallica would sing, seek and destroy, plain and simple, man. Because if you don't, it's just business. They're not going to be like, hey, you know what, Brian, Jocko, and Pete, those are nice guys. We want them to thrive. No, they want you guys to eat cat food, man. And being a business owner, my kids are teenagers now, but I would always say it's nothing personal, honey or guys, but they want to make mommy and daddy and you guys eat cat food. And on a basic, I know it sounds like shit, but it's the truth, isn't it?
I mean, it is, you know, it's one of those things where I think when you know, the generation where everybody's a winner and you get second, you know, last place trophies, participation trophies, like feels good. Like it feels good because you're not hurting people's feelings. But at the end of the day, when you get out into the real world, and business world is the most, like, outside of like maybe professional sports and war, the business world is like the most cutthroat world you're going to get into. I really think it is. And there's ruthlessness out there. And when you think that you're going to take a soft approach and you're going to go out there and eat like market share, and you're not going to, like, we have the companies that you're talking about and the companies in that circle, like they are coming and trying to take our lunch money right now. Like we're already on, makes me proud to know that we're already on their radar and we're in their pitch decks to retailers. Like it, like, cool. They know of us and they're trying to take our lunch and they're trying to keep us out because they know what they're doing. But, you know, and I'm the least to be concerned about with my partners, but, you know, I have Pete Roberts, who's a former combat sports world competitor, jiu-jitsu black belt, cut down his forest on his land and put up a timber frame factory by hand. And you have Jocko, former Navy SEAL commander, myself, another black belt, grew up in the woods of Maine. Like, if there's a group of guys that you're not going to push around, it's probably in our circle. So they know they need to come in and try and cut us out from the outside and try and flank us. And we can't let them do that. And if we were, why I mentioned this is because if we were to take a non-aggressive, a non-confrontational, a non-masculine approach, we would just get chewed up and spit out. So if that answers your question, it's just...
Dude, you're speaking to the choir, though. There's nothing... And, you know, the people that are going to be listening to this, they they 100% align with that. There's no, that's just a newfound thing. I sucked at sports, but I wanted to be, I have 2 degrees in journalism because I thought maybe I could be a sports reporter because I was awful. Growing up, I was left-handed. So first base, if I did bad, they sat my ass on the bench for games. And if I wanted to get better, if they brought in somebody, I better step up to the plate. It wasn't like, nobody was like, oh man, that Omar kid. I hope we're not doing anything to his ego. Because when my kids were really small and I put them in soccer, they're like, yeah, we don't keep score. You don't keep score. What are you talking about? Yeah. And they're shorter coaches. So they had me like, each kid gets a medal. But it can't be on sports. It can't be on performance. Say you look good. And if the kid's sitting there just picking grass, give it to him because it's going to make him feel better. And after that once, I'm like, okay. Now I put my kids in the travel soccer, not because I thought they were going to be the next Mia Hamm and the next, it's because I want them to experience it. If you mess up, you better sit your ass down. You know, because that's the real world. The real world is results, man. The real world is I want Brian Littlefield. I want the Jocko Fields. I want the big companies that say, hey, and you're just your product line alone. There's no, you guys didn't go with like the Miami Vice, the pastel colors, like your competitor. And I was a smoothie king owner for 20 years. So I sold nutraceuticals for 20 years. And that's why I say, and it's not just the one company. A lot of them had the flame, this is supposed to be, hey, I'm going to go lift heavy, but don't mind me. I'm carrying around a neon green or, a pink can just because I'm a badass.
Yeah. It's one of those things where the origin brand is interesting because it really is for everyone. Now, granted, the products that are made right now are predominantly for men, but as the brand evolves, it really will become a brand for everyone, but it's everyone within a certain lifestyle and mindset. And the Jocko Fuel brand 100% is for everyone. Like, we only have one male centric product, which is a testosterone sport product. That's it. Everything else can be literally everything else is completely agnostic. That doesn't mean that we're not going to maintain the commitment to the brand and that Jocko brand. And Jocko, that's the thing is like when we distilled it down, and it's kind of funny is you'll get a kick out of this. Like, so we had launched the brand, we had success, and we had some people tell us like you should do a brand exercise and you should bring in a third party and you should go find your brand identity and you should develop your archetype and whatever. And we spent a bunch of money and like a bunch of time with some outside sources and boiled it down. And at the end of the day, what did it come down to? The same shit we already knew, who we were. And it wasn't going to be redefined. The Jocko Fuel brand is an extension of Jocko. You can't put like a pink ribbon on that. He's an American war hero. He's a Navy SEAL, best-selling author, intense leadership consultant. Like, he's not soft around the edges. He is who he is. He's respected by people of all ages, men and women alike, but he is who he is. And he's the talented individual who can captivate an audience of adults and get them fired up and or a football stadium. And then I watched him, and this was actually a real pivotal point for me, was one of the first times I had spent time with him. I went down to Long Island and he was, because he has kids books. A lot of people don't know that he has a set of children's books. And I watched him literally turn on a switch and walk in and captivate an audience, an auditorium of kids, and had them laughing and joking and fired up. And it's just like a switch. He is a man of many talents and layers. And what we've tried to do is bring that to life through his products. And yeah, they're dominant. They're in your face. They're aggressive. At the same time, we have insanely high standards for quality. We don't use gray area ingredients. We don't use excessive caffeine in our energy drink. What did we do? We brought in nootropic ingredients so that you didn't need to have excessive amounts of caffeine. Why? Because What is a SEAL team? A SEAL team uses technology. They use a shit ton of training. They use special tools and they go in and do things that bigger organizations can't come in and do because that's who they are. So we didn't bring in 400 milligrams of caffeine like we're bringing in a bomber and dropping bombs. No, it's It's tactical. So everything, where I'm going with that is everything is an extension of him. And yeah, he's a masculine dude. So,
but the one thing that you guys got right from the start, because most entrepreneurs, most business people want to play safe. They want to be vanilla. They don't understand, dude, Disney World doesn't have 100% market share. Apple doesn't. Stay in your lane, grow customer, get raving fans. You guys weren't like, hey, we don't want to piss off anybody. We just want to play it safe. Everybody that wants to play it safe, all they end up is bankrupt. They end up sucking wind. They end up getting their asses kicked because nobody knows what they really are. Nobody really knows their product. And you can't. Once you guys were a step ahead, because everybody feels, hey, if we're like that, everybody will like us and everybody will buy from us. And it never happens that way.
Yeah. I mean, it's, again, it goes back to that. Well, if we please everybody and we don't piss people off and we appeal to everyone, like we'll be successful and we'll have so much market potential. But at the same time, like you said, it's vanilla. It doesn't resonate with anybody. It's not going to touch the soul of individuals. It's not going to make them feel like they're part of something. And if you want to have success, that's what you really need to do most of the time. Are you going to have the apples of the world? Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Like you're definitely going to have those. But the one thing you'll find is when you have a message, and even they obviously had a very powerful message. When you have a message and you talk to people about the why and you connect with them on a deeper level, yeah, you're going to be bringing them in and they're going to stay part of that, like that core early adopter group. And that's what we've had. They're and they go to war for us.
Well, you guys connect and you guys resonate. You connected with me on many levels. Yeah. I would say you guys do well. Gen X, people around our age, patriotic. Everybody knows Jocko. I don't care if you're living under a rock. You know, he has a podcast. He speaks, big speaker, hero, American hero, America first, plain and simple. If you like that, if you're not afraid of masculinity, and there you go. I mean, it's not, you guys know that though. It's like you guys aren't like, well, you know what? We want to be tops in GNC for the boomers or anybody over the age of 70. We want to compete with Centrum and we want to compete with all those crappy vitamins and possibly maybe Fred Flintstone vitamins.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That's not us. And it also, I think it's important for aspiring entrepreneurs and business people to hear is like, you don't need that. You don't need, in my opinion, you don't want to, but you also don't need to. Like there's 300 million people in America. That's a lot of people when you split it up into demographics and your personal interests and values. Like even though we resonate with that core group of people that you were just talking about, like we still haven't even nearly tapped into that full potential. And, you know, we consider ourselves having a pretty successful business and the direction we're headed in, you know, we're excited about. So you don't have to touch everybody. You don't have to please everybody and you don't have to sell to everyone to have a successful business.
Now, when you guys start up, were there people telling you, Brian, are you insane? Do you know how competitive nutraceuticals is? You're going to get killed, man. You're going to get killed by EAS. You're going to get killed and they BSN and they go down the line of all the established companies. I'm sure you had a lot of feedback from friends, family, people that you thought were your friends.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, a lot of feedback. We did get a lot of it in like the nutraceutical supplement world. We definitely got some like, hey, you know, that's a competitive set. There's tons and tons and tons of brands out there all feeding for like that one piece of pie. So we definitely got that, but we got it more on two other things. One of which was early on. And that was because we had previously branded, I actually talked about this recently. We had previously branded for the first year before Jocko came on our supplements and we phased those out and restarted over with Jocko, but they were under the Origin brand, which was a very strong brand at the time. And it's super strong now. And people thought that we were crazy for repivoting them under a person and a personality, especially those that didn't know Jocko. And even some that did know Jocko thought we were a little bit crazy for doing that. And ultimately we had to make a call. And we feel like we've made the right call because we, you know, it's worked. But we had a lot of people saying like, this is not a good idea. You shouldn't put it all, you know, all around this one person. You know, what if, what if, what if? It's always what if. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it starts like, you can't, like, once you have your process, yes, don't be closed-minded to people and their opinions. But at the same time, like, you got to follow through if you believe in something. And we did, we believed in it. And one of the reasons why I believed in it so much was because Jocko had something that other personalities, celebrities, influencers, like whatever you want to call people of notability, whatever, people that are known. He had something that other ones don't have. He had trust. People trusted what he had done. They knew it was real. They knew when he said things that he meant it. They knew that through his podcast, he was offering them tons of value, 2 to 3, 4 hour podcasts every week, consistently, never hawking product, never trying to sell them on a program or a class or some shit like that. He was just adding value and he was just building trust. And it wasn't a comedian. It wasn't basketball player. It was someone who had served his country for 20 years at the absolute highest level and had gone on to be respected by Fortune 500 CEOs and executives around the world. And I'm like, people trust him. And what do people need to do before they put something in their body? Most people, they need to trust it, right? Because it's one thing to put some clothing on or to buy a piece of technology. It's another thing to put something in your body. You got to trust it. So when I had made that connection, I was like, okay, I'm all in on this. This makes complete sense. And it was the right call.
Yeah, so no,
that was one of those periods where people were like, no, man, like, don't put everything in, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. You're limiting it to a certain amount of people because it's got his name on it. And yeah, well it paid off.
The problem is so many people focus on why things won't work. That's the number one go-to. Nobody ever focuses on, hey, you know, we're going to succeed. We're going to hit a home run. Well, it's like, to me, it's like the Jaws theory. Well, how about if I go into the water and, like, you know, Roy Schreider's not around and, you know, the big giant shark that's pissed off chomps on me. Okay, yeah, that can happen. It probably won't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when it comes to business, when it comes to even their personal lives, man, people stay safe. They stay on the sidelines because they're like that. Oh, man, you're going to put all your eggs on in one basket. I don't know about that. That's the biggest risk. Not even taking any risk, not going for anything at all.
Yeah, it is. Like, I know so many people, even close friends that have a talent or a desire, a skill set in some particular avenue, even let's say another, like a small business, like a restaurant or some sort of food, like, you know, a food truck or something. And they have like a great skill set. And I know that they would be successful, you know, especially with, you know, the right tools. Yet they're going to remind themselves the 5 reasons why they can't do it or why it's a bad idea or why it's scary or risky or whatever. And it's always going to stop them from doing that and taking action. Yeah. So I'm lucky enough or crazy enough or dumb enough to have not fallen into that category. When I first partnered with Pete, when we launched the nutritional division, we were going to use the Origin brand to cap, you know, as a catalyst to push it forward. But we needed working capital. And when I came on board as a partner, you know, I went and I was fortunate enough to have a house that I had paid off. And I went and remortgaged it just to invest in the company to give us, you know, money we needed to do it. And so paid off house and was just like, boom, now I have a mortgage again. Now, and in the early days, like, we didn't have the funding to like have, you know, nice paychecks either. So I'm like living off half the mortgage and then funding the business with the other half. And it's just like, jump in head first. Don't put your toes in the water.
but you did the smart thing. You bet on yourself. Usually when you hear people, yeah, I'm going to take a second mortgage. I'm going to take the equity out of my house. The thing they're going to do is, oh man, I'm going to go to Maui. I love that Corvette. You know, they buy it. They waste it on experiences. Nobody ever is like, yeah, I took that money and I reinvested it back into my business. Or no matter what, you did the right thing. Mm-hmm. Congratulations on that, man. That's why you're here. If not, you know, you focused on it working out. Now, did you want to be in nutraceuticals? Because I read that growing up, your brother had a bout with cancer. Is that what?
So,
right?
Yeah, growing up, it was a number of things. So at a young, so my only one between my parents, and my parents got together later in life. And my mom had had a family previously. My father had had a family. And I was much closer in age. So I ended up being much closer to my brothers on my mother's side. So she had three sons before she had me. She hoped for a girl and had another, had a fourth boy. And that was her luck. And I'm 10 years apart from my closest brother. So I was an afterthought. I was the mistake for sure. And it's true. It's true. And it's, you know, fortunate that I'm here. Thank God. So my brothers were all great athletes. I grew up in their shadows a little bit, but at the age of 6 to 8, while my brother was going through chemo, it was very impactful for me. I was old enough to be aware of what was going on, but young enough to be like super, to have it be like very impactful to me. Like really, I remember my mother telling me later on in life, like, yeah, the doctor even said, like, this is going to change the younger one. He's going to see things and go through things that, like, having to see my brother blow up, like looking like, you know, the Stay Puft Man from Ghostbusters. Yeah, it wasn't cool, you know, and it wasn't cool. And so thankful that he beat the odds and survived chemo and ended up going off to do things that they said he would never do. Went to Embry-Riddle for aerospace engineering and was a pilot and lives a happy life now. But that was super impactful to me. And my father was always kind of like holistically minded in a sense when it comes to like food is health type of thing. And that, you know, had a small part in it. But I like to say I lost my way and I lost the path sometime during high school. I stopped playing and focusing on sports, which I think is insanely, I don't think it's important. I think it's essential for kids to follow through sports and play sports, learn the discipline, get engaged with team environment. I think that's super important. And that's one thing I wish I had stayed with, but it sent me on my path. And I started focusing on cars and girls. I went off to the world's premier racing technology school. So I learned to work on basically racing engineering, made it a job of mine and like realized I turned like that thing, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. I took like my hobby and passion at the time and turned it into a job and I hated it. So in that period of time, I go backwards. So in high school, like I blew up. Like I was fat as fuck. I was super unhealthy. I was really the only one like that in my, like within my brothers and my family. So I was kind of like the outlier. I've never had great genetics. I was never a genetic freak athlete or anything like that, but I was always like, you know, maybe a little bit chubby growing up as a kid, but never like obese. I was 265 pounds of obese, pre-hypertensive. My blood sugar, my insulin was bad. Like I was unhealthy. I was headed down a bad path. And, you know, without taking up too much time, like a number of things came to play where I had an inflection point one day and I was just like, I am going to get back on the path. I'm going to live into that healthy lifestyle that I know I should have been on. And I have this, you know, I think like a lot of entrepreneurs, business owners have, like, I have this obsessive mindset. So quickly, I'm in school, I'm in college. I run home. As soon as I started going to the gym, I'd run home, grab my shit, go to the gym, come back home, get my coursework done. And I would be all night long reading about nutraceuticals. Like, I don't know why. I just did. I've always loved the idea of like, I don't consider them hacks. I consider them like force multipliers. Like if I'm eating healthy, exercising, doing the right things, what can I do to leverage that? And they are supplements, not replacements. And I emphasize that so much to people. Like you can't take a supplement and not do the work or have the discipline to eat healthy. Like this is in conjunction with. And so I went down that road of just like, what can be added to? And just, I've always excelled and succeeded in like the sciences. I probably should have went down that path. Like a lot of my family are in the medical field and it comes naturally to me. So I just absorbed myself in it, like countless hundreds and thousands of hours of just reading through clinical research and just like nerding out. Later on, I would take that knowledge after college and started my own brick and mortar supplement store. And then I started, like, it was adjacent to the jiu-jitsu academy and martial arts academy that I was also teaching at, and was like curating supplement and diet programs for athletes and fighters. And I just became the go-to person. And that's when I met Pete. And then it transitioned into, okay, let's, I've always, at that point, I had become such a nerd with it that I was like, I want to build products because I know I can make better products. Because when you own an independent supplement store, like every company that you can imagine is sending you samples. They're sending you product. Their salespeople are trying to get a hold of you. They're telling you about all these things. So you get to literally, at an unfair advantage, I got to literally see everything that was in the marketplace. And all of our athletes, I got to say, hey, try this, do this for a month, try this. What do you like about this? Does it work? Does it not work? Of course, I'm my own biggest guinea pig. And just kind of collected all that data and was like, okay, I know what works. I know what doesn't work. I understand the science. I can build products. And I just believed I could. And we did it. And
yeah, but think about it. It's worked ever since, but it's that butterfly effect, brother. Yeah. You had, if you would have continued with sports, led you to this path, because then you got overweight. You fell down the, hey, we've all been there. Dude, I gained like 50, 60 pounds with my ex-wife's our first daughter. So trust me, it's usually pain that gets your ass going. Cause usually it's either nobody does the inspiration thing. There's no rah, rah, rah. We can rah, rah, rah people to death and they'll give us the finger. They might chant, they might do the affirmations. And the next day they're like, it doesn't fucking work.
Exactly. But
when your back's up against the wall, or, you know, you have no more money left, you know, or you're brokenhearted. It's like that goofy saying that, you know, being broke, being brokenhearted. I forgot what the other one was. Being fat fuck probably would also be there. You know, those are the best teachers, man. That's why, you know, you need to go through the valleys, man. You need that to get out of it and become something, man. And you guys should, dude. Like I said, I'm sure, yes. You did the dream, because, man, I sold nutraceuticals for 20 years. And the only thing I got out of it was I got to go to the Olympia in Vegas a few times. And Ronnie Coleman stopped by to meet me. And that was it. But you went the step ahead. You're like, man, this is good. All these supplements, all these nutraceuticals, all these vitamins. You know what? I can do this and I can do it better. So that it's like, hey, congratulations, man. And think about it, you're right next to a jiu-jitsu place too, man. Tell me that universe wasn't like, here. We all have that calling. Most people would have been like, shit, maybe I can leave coupons out at the jiu-jitsu place, or maybe I can leave a booth out and do a sampling and vice versa. And that's not it, man. Your mind was already 2, 3, 4, 5 steps ahead of the process.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think that's I don't know if that's learned or if it was innate, but I've used opportunities like that to fill voids, right? And I also kind of build our products around that, is like, how can we, whether it's synergy or whether it's trying to fill a void, like as far as like a need state goes, or an open space in like the market, like, you know, Jocko jokes about it. We have an ad that we run. It's a snippet from his podcast, and he's in short form, he's saying, how did nobody just see this massive gap in the marketplace where like people were like, hey, I want energy, but I also want it to be healthy too. And it doesn't have to be paisley and rainbow colored. It can work. It can be healthy and it can still maintain brand. And like, nobody saw that. Like, nobody was like, hey, let's, you know, like, you have these $1 billion companies like, you know, Monster, Red Bull, they have R&D budgets, you know, bigger than our annual revenue probably. So it's like, how do they not see that with all the people that they have like working on that? Like, why? And I don't know whether it's complacency or whether it's just the simple fact that there's just people that come along and think of things that haven't been thought of. I don't know, but
you guys were hungry, man. It's complacency. When you get so huge for so long, what's the motivation? What's Red Bull's motivation? They've been around since like I've been in college. There's nothing. Dude, think about it. Okay. Coca-Cola, granddaddy of all drinks.
Yeah.
It's been around. It's not like they're sitting around. They have such a huge presence in everything, and water and, you know, orange juice and all that. It's not like they're like, oh, what can we do to move the needle? You guys are hungry. You guys, not only that, but just the background. It is synergy. All three of you, a collective team, You guys are hungry. You guys are the hunters. Mm. You know, that's why you're like, how can we move the needle? What product is out there? Why isn't there a product like that? Monster, Red Bull, they don't want it. That, you know, EPX, all I see is the friggin' CEO being Instagram famous with his bullshit videos. Trust me, he's not like saying, oh man, you know what? And believe it or not, since, you know, it's here, but before his product came out, his pre-work, that was a dying company, man. And they were hungry. But once they hit that home run, it's like, you don't see anything different. You don't see anything R&D because you guys are the hunters. You guys are relatively small compared to, and that's not a knock compared to like friggin' Red Bull.
No, yeah, absolutely.
But they, you and I were like in high school when those companies came about.
Oh, I mean, Red Bull is like, they're the original and they've been around. Well, I don't know how long they've been around. They've been around at least 20 years.
Longer than that. I was drinking first time I went snowboarding, 1992.
I'd say 90s. Yeah, right. Early 90s.
30 years. Yeah.
30 years. I mean, we've only been making energy. We've only had the energy drink. In reality, we've only had the energy drink this year. And I say that because we really took us going back to the drawing board to reinvent the flavors, because we were so focused on health and efficacy in the beginning. And we were really limited with our natural flavors and sweetener systems on how good we could make it taste. And it was like a 6 out of 10, to be honest. Some of the flavors probably even worse, some a little bit better. But we went back to like first 6 months of this year. We reinvented the entire flavor systems on everything. And then they relaunched a month ago in August. And we've seen the lift. We've seen the lift in Wawa. We've seen the lift in Vitamin Shoppe. You know, we already had good sales, but they're increasing week over week as people are experiencing these new and improved flavors. So yes, we've had them out since 2019. So technically it's been, you know, almost 3 years, but like we really are considering this as like, this is us coming into our real form.
I can tell you this from the vitamin shops here in South Florida. You guys have pallet, usually, of cases of RTDs. That's always a great sign. That means you guys are selling, because it's not like, you know, the vitamin shops of the world are saying, hey, you know what? We're just going to keep this shit on the shelves. And you know, we like those guys. Those are nice guys. No, that says we know this sells. We're going to sell the hell out of it. And we're going to sell more out of it.
I might catch some shit from our chief revenue officer who leads our sales team, but I don't know if I'm supposed to share this data, but this new Pink Mist flavor that we created specifically as a limited launch for Vitamin Shoppe is the number one selling SKU for the last 4 weeks in a row in the store, not like through the brand, like in the store. So I'm pretty happy with the way things have turned out. And people obviously love these new flavor systems. I'm stoked. I'm insanely proud about that. I know. I feel like the sky's the limit, but yeah, fired up about it. And as you can tell, but yeah, we're going to continue to maintain on eating market share and defending ourselves from the flanks of the big dogs as they try and come after us. And yeah.
Well, my CrossFit coach here, Isaiah Torres, he wanted to ask if you guys were hiring, because not only is he a fanboy, but he wants to know how to get sponsored. Hey, that's a good sign, man, because, you know, it is what it is. You guys are hamstrung in the sense that your competitors can put as much caffeine. And that's what, I mean, if you look at it, it's like, you know, mega dose of caffeine. With like a shit ton of flavor, artificial flavor, and to get all those wacky flavors, man.
You know, and it's like, there's only so much of that you can do. You know, like you saw two, first it was Red Bull, you know, with Red Bull came out of the gates with like a healthy amount of caffeine. You know, I think their 8 ounce or 12 ounce has like right around 100 milligrams of caffeine. Like that's a healthy amount of caffeine. You know, and then you had all the people chasing into the market with, you know, 150, then 200. And now you see 250, 350. And I was even told that there's a 400, because 400 is the legal limit.
There's 400 now. I was going to cut you off on that. I've seen 400. But the way they get away with it, too, is it's two servings.
And that's a gray area too. Like the FDA is cracking down on that. So, because you have to make it so incredibly transparent to the consumer that it is two servings, because if you don't, and then they obviously consume more than they're supposed to, then they have an adverse event. It's a problem. So, but what is that? It's like circling the drain. Like there's no uniqueness to that. Like that was like, you have 5 hour energy and then all of a sudden you have 6 hour energy. It's like, come on, what are you going to have 7 hour energy?
Well, it's like, instead of 6 minute abs, you know, like the 5 minute abs.
it's crazy. Like, you know, and that's where we just think we're in a good place. You know, we took a different angle. We took a different approach. You know, we've had some people trying to kind of follow our lead. And, you know, thankfully, we're just far enough out in front.
You know what? On behalf of all the toxic masculinity that's out there, you know, with your origin brands, you know, the jujitsu stuff, the jeans, the boots, the hunting gear, made in America. That right there, mic drop, nobody can talk shit. It's made here. You're helping. You guys are moving the needles. You're making it to be hip to say, hey, made in America. Flat top. I can talk to you because we're like-minded people, but I mean, pretty soon we're going to have a 3-minute podcast, compete with TikTok videos. 1 hour seems to be after that, you know, not everybody has your mindset and Jocko's that can go on. That's called mental toughness. That's a muscle. So plug away. I know how to find you guys. I even know how to find you through your rep, but how do we find you? How do we find the product? Plug away.
Yeah, man. Thank you. JockoFuel.com, OriginMaine.com. Those are the websites. I say that because they're about to split into two different websites. So if you want to find all of our Jocko Fuel and nutritional products, go to JockoFuel.com. If you want to get all the badass American-made stuff, go to OriginMaine.com. Obviously, there'll be links going back and forth. If you want to find us on Instagram, Jocko Fuel and Origin USA on Instagram will pop right up. You want to find me, I'm Brian_Origin on Instagram. And yeah, hit me up. I make videos talking about supplements and I'm starting to get more active and I've been taking on questions. I didn't realize how many questions I was going to get. So I guess I'm going to have to start getting more content out there because I've never really considered myself a content creator, but
content is king. And here's one last question for that person that's been sitting on his ass forever. Person that's in the sidelines, that, oh my gosh, it's going to hurt. Is there any words of wisdom for the sofa athlete or the entrepreneur out there that just can't get started?
Yeah. I would say like you have to want that thing more than you want that thing right in front of you, whether it's a soft couch or that delicious bag of potato chips or, you know, that fun night out versus grinding and building your business plan. Normally I would say like on a more micro level, that's the thing. But I saw something last night and I think it was from Chris Williamson. And he said, hell is getting to the end of life and seeing what you could have been. That's how it's getting to the end of life and getting a glimpse at your eventual full potential of what it could have been if you had taken action. And I was like, man, there's no better words than that. So I'll leave it with that.
That's my drop right there. Brian, it was an honor. Love to have the hour of conversation with you. And I'll be the ultimate fanboy. We'll keep on using the pre-workout. And hey, brother, thanks. Thank you for everything.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Have a great day. Take care. Right now you can make the choice to never listen to that negative voice no more. The hardest prison to escape is our own mind. I was trapped inside that prison for a long time. To make it happen, you gotta take action. Just imagine what if it did work.